How still we see the light above the deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Gathered to worship with us, where our mission here is what? Guiding all generations to know and follow Christ. And we hope you had a really great Thanksgiving with friends and family. I want to shout out to our YWAM friends over here. Yes, we have our Youth with a Mission team here with Keaton this week, so we've been having so much fun. Big sleepover last night. It's great times. Great times. But we want to welcome you. If this is your first time here, we want to say welcome. We want to connect with you guys. If you will pull out that connection card in the seat pocket in front of you, fill that out. Guys, we know that the holidays is sometimes a hard time for a lot of people. And we want to know how we can be praying for you. So write your prayer request down on that connect card. You can place it in the boxes as you exit today. That just lets your staff know how we can be walking alongside you during this season. So we would love to do that. Guys, if this is your first time here, we would love to connect and meet with you out in the lobby. As we conclude the service, we have a gift for you, so come on out and meet our staff out there at the conclusion of the service today. Well, Jason kicks off our Advent series, Go Tell It. We're going to talk about Zechariah today, and we're going to light the Advent candle. So it's going to be a great day of worship this morning. Why don't you stand and greet those around you? Welcome to worship.
Good morning once again. Welcome in. Glad to have you with us this morning. We serve and we worship a God who's risen. He lives. Let's sing. God sent his Son.
They called him Jesus. He came to love. He then forgave. He lived and died. To buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Bless the Lord,
draws near, and my time has come. But still my soul will sing your praise again, dear. 10,000 years and then forever.
Tim and praise team, you all can be seated. And that's just a glimpse into what eternity is going to be like. So I'll just tell you, if you don't get excited about singing here, you're going to be miserable in heaven. Thank you, guys. Hey, it's been a great week. I hope you've had a restful week, Thanksgiving. Hopefully we're not too full in here still from Thursday. Thanksgiving's done, and it's time to focus on Christmas. And so some of you might be excited about the movies and the music and the food and the parties and whatever, but let's not forget why we celebrate Christmas. I saw this week somebody, or the discussions taking place as we move away from being a Christian nation, do we move away from celebrating Christmas? Friends, even more now than ever before, do we need to keep Jesus the reason for the season? So would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that over 2,000 years ago, you stepped off of your throne. You emptied yourself of all of your glory and you came. Born of a virgin, a baby in a manger, fully God, fully man. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. And Jesus, you're the reason that we gather here every Sunday of the year. Sure, we love seeing our brothers and sisters in Christ, but this is not a country club. We are here to worship the King. And so, Jesus, that is what we do today and every time we gather. We worship you and you alone, because you alone are worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship today and every day. And we look forward to the day that we get to be with you and worship you for eternity. But even so, now we wait and we worship while we do so. So Jesus, we love you. We thank you for who you are. And we keep our eyes focused on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway
path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be the church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we see. Even so, sing together.
There will be justice, all will be new. Your name forever is faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be church.
Well, good morning to you, church. So good to be together. I hope that you have enjoyed just a long, pleasant holiday weekend like I have. And of course, we all know that the Thanksgiving holiday officially launches us into the Christmas season, as we've already talked about this morning. But now it is socially acceptable to put up your Christmas decorations, right? And get the lights on the house and listen to Christmas music. Although some of us may or may not have started Christmas music right after Halloween. But anyway, be that as it may. Well, also with this Christmas season comes just this whole slew of new words that we use only at this time of the year. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, just the volume of words in our vocabulary that are isolated to the select season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, does anyone talk about chestnuts or carols outside of December, right? When was the last time you used the word tidings in a sentence? Probably not. Sleigh, Yule, jingle, magi, garland, mistletoe, manger, nativity, frankincense, myrrh. We don't use those words unless it's Christmas. Even the word Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, we only use typically if we're wishing someone a Merry Christmas, right? You see what I mean? We have this very seasonal vocabulary during Christmas. And one more of those seasonal words is Advent. Now, I know many of us would maybe kind of shy away from that word a little bit. Sounds kind of formal and perhaps even liturgical. It might sound like it's not really a Baptist word, right? Well, no, it's actually not reserved for other denominations, believe it or not. It's not even an overtly liturgical term. To be truthful, as you read in your ministry guide this morning, Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, and it simply means coming or arrival. Here at First Hearst, we're using the word Advent a little more this year because really it helps us to keep our seasonal focus on the reason for the season, the arrival of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who came to be one of us, to die for us. Church, I want you to rest assured, we are not doing away with the word Christmas, okay? In fact, we highlight that Christ is essential to Christmas, amen? But we are looping in this word, Advent, as well to continue pointing us back to the coming of Jesus at Christmas. And to help with that, don't miss our special Go Tell It Advent devotional for 2023. It looks like that, all right, that you see on the screen. And you can pick one up out on Main Street this morning. If we run out before you get a printed copy, all right, because that is a possibility. But if we run out, we have some alternative options for you. Number one, we will be happy to print one for you that you can pick up in the church office this week, okay? Just send an email to info@firsthearst.com if we have run out and you can request one. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to print 27 for you, all right, because you want to give one to everybody and all of your third cousins. We can't do that, all right? But we will be happy to get you one in print. Or you can visit our website, again, firsthearst.com. Click on the picture that looks just like what you see on the screen. It will take you to our Advent page, and there you have multiple options. You can download a PDF of the entire devotional booklet, this one or for adults or the one that we have for families, and or both. And you can download it as an e-book if you prefer to read on like an e-reader, your iPad or something, if that's better for you. Or we're just giving you lots of options this morning. If you're an auditory learner, man, you can even listen to the daily content read for you, all right? You can be lazy this Christmas, right? No, it's kind of like an audiobook. Just subscribe to our podcast, and you'll be notified every day when new daily content is posted. All right, so we're giving you a lot of options to access this devotional content because we really want you to spend some time in that and invest. Not a lot of time, 4 or 5 minutes a day is all it will take you, and it will help keep your heart focused on the advent of Jesus and our call to go tell it. Now, most of us, of course, are quite familiar with the traditional Christmas story that we find in Luke chapter number 2. But you see, Luke's telling of the Christmas story actually begins back in chapter 1 of Luke. And so you might want to turn there in your Bible because that's where we're going to camp out this morning. That's where an angel was sent to a Jewish priest named Zechariah, who would unexpectedly become the father of John the Baptist. Wait, Jason, I thought we were, you said we were focusing on Jesus coming this year, not John the Baptist. Well, yeah, but you see, John the Baptist would be the forerunner of the Christ. His arrival was a signal that helped to prepare the way for Jesus himself to arrive. And so that's where we're going. That's where we'll begin our Advent worship this year in Luke chapter number 1, as we do And in fact, throughout this entire Advent season, we're going to just explore some of the many, many times that the Lord's messengers were sent to go tell it, to tell the message of the Savior's arrival, His advent. Along the way, there's much for us to learn about our own call to go tell it. Look with me, if you will, Luke chapter 1. We begin in verse number 5 this morning. It says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abia, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. All right, so the players here, Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years, which is a nice way of saying they were beyond childbearing years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now, that was a rare privilege that not every priest enjoyed. They might go their entire lifetime and never be chosen as one to burn incense. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. I guess so. That would have been startling. He's there in the temple, and this angel just shows up. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Verse 15, he begins to tell him a lot about his son, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he, John, will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he, John, will go before him, that's the Lord, Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Zechariah said to the angel, well, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Like, I don't know if you understand how biology works, but I don't think this is going to happen. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah. Like, it was taking a long time. And they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he'd seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, just as God promised, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. So, lengthy passage here. Let me give you the quick summary, is that Gabriel was charged by God to go and tell Zechariah. Not only that he would have a son, but more importantly, that the Christ, the Holy Son of God, the Savior of the world, would soon be born. And today, on this first Sunday of Advent, we're going to lock in on verse number 19 that we just read. Verse 19 will be home base for us. There, we're going to unpack just a single sentence that Gabriel, as the messenger of the Lord, said to Zechariah. In fact, as we do, four particular words are going to kind of rise to the surface and capture our attention, because like Gabriel, we are also the messengers of the Lord who've been called to go tell it. Now, those four words that are going to rise to the surface, they're not actually in the text, but they're kind of behind the text. You'll see what I mean. The first of them is identity. Identity. Again, we didn't read that word in verse 19, but Gabriel spoke about his identity when he declared to Zechariah, I stand in the presence of God. That's how he chose to identify himself, as one who is just outrageously privileged to stand in God's very presence. Now, it would be pretty easy for us to just read right past that and miss the significance of that statement. I mean, can we take a moment and just sit in that for a moment where Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God. That's something that Zechariah, even as a priest, he would never have even dared to dream of. In the Old Testament Jewish dynamic, God's very presence was a fearful thing. It was isolated deep within the temple where God chose to dwell above the Ark of the Covenant. No one just waltzed into God's presence. That wasn't a thing. I mean, Zechariah got kind of close. He was in the temple burning incense, but still, he could not just go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. No one could. Now, we don't have that structural approach to the presence of God as if he's contained within a structure or a building or some location. But for us, in fact, for all of us, it was an impossible wish that we should ever be in God's very presence. And that's because of our sin. As sinners, we are forever hopelessly separated from God, doomed to an eternity away from his presence. That's the very reason why Gabriel was sent to tell the news that the Savior was to be born, so that we could be brought back into God's presence. You see, because of the gospel, because of what Jesus, the Savior, has done, we who have trusted him for salvation by grace through faith, we now stand in the presence of God. This is what Paul was writing about in Ephesians chapter number 2, there in verses 12 and 13. He said, remember that you were at that time, that is when you were dead in trespasses and sin. That's how he introduced chapter 2. At that time, you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's how Paul described life separated from God's presence. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In fact, we've been brought so near. We've been brought into God's own presence by the blood of Jesus. No longer is his presence a fearful thing for us, but rather by the grace of God, we can be unashamed before him. For you see, in Jesus, we have his righteousness, and in him, God has made a way for us to return to that intimacy and that closeness with God in his very presence. It's what Adam and Eve knew in the garden, before sin separated us from our Creator. And now, like Gabriel, our call to go and tell the message of salvation in Jesus, that calling builds out of our identity as those who stand in the presence of God. We have this calling to go tell it because of our identity in Christ, because we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus, because we've been brought into God's presence, we now have this purpose. We have this calling to tell others how they too can be brought into the very presence of God, forgiven and unashamed. As we've talked about all year long here at First Hurst, we can go tell others through what we call gospel conversations, just talking about the sweet gospel of Jesus Christ. Identity is our first word. The second word that we find in this text there in verse number 19, or behind the text, I should say, is appointment. Appointment. Gabriel spoke about his appointment by God. He was appointed to this task of telling God's message to Zechariah. He next said, I was sent. In other words, I was appointed. Now, that's kind of familiar language for us here at First Hurst, right? Because every Sunday, as our worship service comes to a close, we're challenged to remember this very truth. What is it that we say every Sunday, church? You are sent. We put it on screen just in case you forgot, all right? You are sent. You are sent into a lonely, hurting world of people who need the very hope that brings you together with other believers each week. You are sent to share this hope with those in your world. You're sent to be on mission all week long. You are sent to serve and honor the Lord as you love people well and share the gospel with them. Gabriel was appointed by God to this task, and he was sent with intentionality to a particular recipient, Zechariah, because God set a divine appointment for his messenger. Remember we read in Luke chapter 1 that Zechariah was chosen by lot to be the one that got to go burn incense? You think that was just by chance? You think it was an accident that he was the one that got to go in? No, this was a divine appointment that God orchestrated for him to be there. And as we think through that, I believe at least three parallels surface for us. Because I'm going to tell you, we are sent like Gabriel. The first of those parallels is this. In his appointment, Gabriel told Zechariah that all the messianic prophecies and promises were finally coming to pass. The Messiah was coming soon, and Zechariah's son would help make the people ready. Hey, we too are sent to tell others about the prophecies and promises of salvation in the Messiah. We've been sent to tell others how those promises have already come to pass. And so we have salvation in Jesus Christ. A second parallel, Gabriel was sent to a particular recipient, in this case, Zechariah. God did not release Gabriel and say, just randomly go out and tell someone the message of the Messiah. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and God frequently does that. We are sent to go tell someone. But in this case, God sent him specifically to Zechariah. It was what we might call a divine appointment. And let me tell you, God is still orchestrating such divine appointments for us today. He sends us with intentionality to particular individuals with the message of the gospel. He sends us to have these gospel conversations with specific folks in our paths. It might be someone that at the office or someone in your science class that you see every day. It could be that neighbor from down the road that you haven't met yet, but you know what? This week, God might bring you together as you're out walking your dog. It may be a stranger that you'll see only once, standing in line at the grocery store. But be on the lookout for these divine appointments this week, because like Gabriel, God sends us to particular individuals. A third parallel then is that Gabriel, oh, and get a hold of this, church, Gabriel was perfectly created and gifted by God for this incredible assignment. And believer, you got to wrap your head and your heart around this very truth that you too have been perfectly created and gifted by God to deliver the message of the gospel to those whom you will encounter this week. You are sent. You and I are sent with no less intentionality and purpose than Gabriel was sent to share the news of a baby with Zechariah. This Christmas season, we have been appointed by God to share the news that a baby born 2,000 years ago is the Savior who can redeem people today. We have divine appointments orchestrated by the Lord even this very week. And just as Gabriel responded with devoted obedience to God's command, so must we respond with obedience to the command of God to go tell it. We see a third word then as we return again to verse number 19. There we read where Gabriel told Zechariah that he was sent specifically, he said, to speak to you. This was his commission. It was his particular commission to speak. You know, as much as 75% of the American population struggles on some level with glossophobia. You know this word, glossophobia? It's the fear of public speaking. All right? Now, for many folks, that can be just a crippling thing. I mean, when you look at a list, glossophobia, the fear of public speaking, ranks higher than fear of heights, even fear of death. This fear of public speaking. It's a very real social anxiety that can raise someone's heart rate. It can cause, you know, sweating and confusion and more. And I don't know if Gabriel had any glossophobia issues. But whether that was a struggle for him or not, his commission expressly demanded that he speak. And that's an important reality that we all need to get a hold of. In fact, we're going to put it on screen for you, and you just might want to write this down. His commission expressly demanded that he speak. You know, as we read through the Old Testament prophets, it's hard to miss that as they were delivering God's messages, they almost always led off with, "Thus says the Lord," or "Hear the word of the Lord," and then they spoke God's message to other people. And that's what we're called to do as well. I'm not saying that we are biblical prophets in the modern day. We're not. But we follow the pattern that they laid out so long ago. We deliver God's message to others verbally. And I know that can be really, really hard. I read recently about this whole list of celebrities who have had to work to overcome their own specific speech anxieties in order to succeed as an actor or a singer or a politician or some other public figure. Can you guess who was number one on that list of celebrities who struggled with speech anxiety? I mean, guys like Winston Churchill were on this list. Number one, Moses. I know, kind of a trick question, right? Moses, he's a Bible celebrity? Well, think about it. When God commissioned Moses to go back to Egypt, he was told to speak to Pharaoh, to deliver God's message to the Egyptian ruler. And like Gabriel, his commission expressly demanded that he speak. But Moses was really nervous about that, and he was hesitant for more reasons than we have time to unpack this morning. But I do want to read to you from Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. This is at the burning bush. Moses and God are kind of having this back and forth as Moses is throwing out these excuses for why he can't do what God's telling him to do. In verse number 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." In other words, Moses was saying, "God, I don't think I could do this. I just clam up in front of people." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore just go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." You see, Moses tried to use his struggle with speech as an excuse to just not speak at all. And the Lord reprimanded him for that. I want to tell you, God, who created each of us as we are, and that includes our struggles with speaking, He has commissioned us to speak His gospel to others. Many of you remember Caleb Freeman, who was with us back in August. You talk about someone with some speech struggles. The guy struggles to speak, and yet he uses his gift of speech to speak the gospel into people's lives. He just works, has learned to work through that. And I can already hear some of you thinking right now, "Well, sure, Jason, easy for you to say. You literally talk for a living." Sure. But understand, I'm not saying we all have to be public speakers, all right? Don't fall apart on me, all right? Let the blood pressure go down a little bit, all right? But we all need to be private speakers of the gospel, talking about the gospel in our conversations. And by the way, public speaking for me is a lot easier than private speaking. Okay, I know that's backwards than most people, but I do okay in a large group like this, but I'm not so good when it comes to one-on-one, to a small setting and intimate personal conversations. I've got my own speech anxieties that I have to work through in order to fulfill God's commission. Because we all need to have individual conversations and point them toward, intentionally toward the gospel, to speak God's message to others. All who know Jesus, all of us who've been born again, who've been saved by the grace of God, we must use this gift of communication to express the truth of the gospel in gospel conversations. This is our commission, and it expressly demands that we speak. One final word then. The gospel is in this verse as well. The last part of that rich sentence of Gabriel's in verse 19, it tells us why Gabriel was sent to the old priest Zechariah. He said, "I was sent to speak to you to bring you this good news." Now, this is not new information for most of you, but you may remember that the word gospel literally means good news. Gabriel was not dispatched by God to Zechariah, just, "Hey, go down and have a nice conversation, whatever comes up." No, there was specificity and intentionality in the message that he was to deliver. And I'm telling you, in the same way as God orchestrates those divine appointments for us to fulfill our commission, it's specifically so that we can speak about the gospel. You see, Christmas conversations should be gospel conversations. For the message of Christmas, the message that Zechariah understood from Gabriel, it's that the Lord Himself came to earth to become the Savior of the world. I mean, for Zechariah, learning that he and his elderly wife, Elizabeth, would miraculously become parents at their advanced age. This was incredible, world-changing news for them. But Zechariah eventually was able to look past what that meant for them personally to see what it meant for the world. Their son would be the forerunner of the Christ, and that meant that the Christ himself was soon to be born. He would arrive. Believe it or not, this was even bigger news than the elderly Elizabeth having a baby. Jesus was coming to save his people from their sins. You see, the gospel is at the center of the Christmas story. Because of our sin, we were hopelessly separated from God, destined to eternal death. But God himself would take on flesh and become one of us. That's what we know as the Christmas story. But then he would live without sin on this earth, faithfully fulfilling the law of God. He would then willingly lay down his life to atone for our sin. 33 years after that quiet night in Bethlehem, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, it was to pay the penalty that you and I owed. But because of his worthy sacrifice for us, because of his victorious resurrection, all who trust in his saving grace by faith will be forgiven, made alive in Christ Jesus, given eternal life and an eternal home in heaven. Through Jesus, we who were sinful can be brought near into God's holy presence. That's the gospel. That's the message we've been sent to deliver. Our identity in Christ shapes what the Christmas season means to us. Beyond the presents and the candy canes and all the other seasonal trappings, Advent has this rich depth of meaning, spiritual meaning for us. It points us to our divine appointment by God. That dictates our ministry during this month as we recognize the divine appointments God has worked for us to share his gospel. Our commission must drive our conversations throughout this wonderful season as we speak the truth of salvation in Jesus. For the gospel remains at the very center of all the marvelous joy and peace that Christmas represents. It's all about the gospel. So on this first Sunday of Advent, let us recognize that we who stand in the presence of God, we have been sent to speak to others, to bring them the good news of the gospel, to bring that to a world in need of God's salvation. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for Christmas, the message behind our seasonal celebrations, the message that you came to become one of us, to die in our place as a holy, righteous sacrifice, to make a way for us to be forgiven, to receive your own righteousness, and stand in your very presence. Thank you, O God, for the gospel. I pray that this morning, as we look ahead to a whole month of seasonal celebrations, I pray that you'd remind us and fix firmly in our spirits and in our hearts that this is a season for the gospel to be shared. And as we each face our own, perhaps, anxieties over talking to others, speech anxieties, God, would you help us by the power of your Spirit to trust you, to help us work through that and just speak the gospel into people's lives. I pray that you'd help us to recognize the divine appointments you have for us, even this week, to have that boldness and sensitivity to your Spirit that we need. God, we pray, as we've prayed all year long, we pray that through the Advent season, you will do a mighty work of redemption as your people share the gospel. God, help us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Church, we enter a time of response. And you might respond differently than I might respond, and we all might respond in a different way. Maybe you need to respond by praying for those divine appointments that Pastor Jason just prayed for. Maybe you need to pray for that conversation, that gospel conversation you should have had on Thursday, but you missed that opportunity. And so pray for that conversation that might happen around Christmas. Maybe you just need to sit and just praise God for what he's done in your life. Maybe you need to come and pray with Pastor Jason or Kimberly or myself down here. Or maybe you just need to come and pray at the altar. Or maybe you just need to stand and sing like you haven't sung before, praising God for who he is. However you need to respond, let's stand and do that together.
Pour out our praise to you all.
a great day at church. Amen. You guys can have a seat. We got a lot going on this Christmas season here at our church. But when we gather on Sundays to worship, there's so much that goes into that. We say worship, but there's so many factors. We worship through singing, yes. We worship through prayer. We worship through the reading and teaching of God's Word, but we also worship in our giving. And so there's four ways you can give here at First Church. You can give in the boxes at the back. You can give online. You can text. You can mobile give. Whatever works best for you. But don't miss out on the complete worship experience. All right. Pastor Jason mentioned in his message about these devos, this Advent devotional. Y'all, I don't know if you have been to other churches. Some churches will spend a lot of money and either sell devotionals to their people or give them, or their pastor will write a devotion and sell it to the church. These devotionals are free, but they went with a lot of work. Pastor Jason wrote 31 devotionals, and Angela printed every single one of them. And color ain't free, y'all. Let me just say that. And then somebody in our staff had a really good idea of, like, what if we could record them? And so then Jason recorded 31 podcasts. And he did that. Yeah. And he did that because he loves you. And he cares deeply for you. And so the best way that we can honor that labor of love is to read them. So don't forget your copy. There's copies behind the wall over there. There's copies on Main Street. We also have a family devotional. Now, the other ones that he wrote are every day. I actually listened to it in the car on the way over here with my four-year-old. You're supposed to read it or listen to it after the message today. Sorry, Jason, I got ahead of myself. But we listened to it, and it's great. However you need to access it, do that. There's also a family Advent guide. This is a weekly guide. Take advantage of those. Those are down the hall near the kids' ministry. This Friday, we have Christmas at Norwood. I've never been to one of these. I'm really excited. We've got bounce houses and hot cocoa and cookie decorating. But we also have local school choirs coming to perform for us. It's going to be awesome. So make sure you are there on Friday from 6:30 to 8. Christmas in the Round is on the 10th. So make sure you're here for that at 9:30 and 11. And then a last announcement is for our ladies in the room. Our annual Women's Christmas Ministry event is a little different this year. Normally we do it on Friday nights, but you know, it gets a little darker earlier now, and some of y'all work all day long, and then to go to an event, we just thought we'd switch it up a little bit. So we're going to do a 10 o'clock breakfast. It's brunch, catered, really nice, quiche, pancake bar. It's going to be great. You can wear your flannel. That could be your PJs. That could be a shirt, leggings. Who cares? Y'all come. Your mom, your grandma, your daughter, everybody needs to come. This is for every woman. It's going to be an awesome time. December 16th, there's childcare available. Register in Church Center today. Hey, Pastor Mark's not here today. And Pastor Jason mentioned those three words that we say every Sunday. So what I want you to do is I want you to stand up. And I'm going to count to three. And when I do, I want you to say these three words so loud that Mark can hear you wherever he is. All right? One, two, three, you are sent.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will